Welcome to the Wisdom for Life podcast with David Baker. David was a former paratrooper in the 82nd Airborne Division and for over 30 years has been a preacher. He has written 5 books and is an Amazon number one best-selling author. He is the chaplain at the county jail, pastors a church, and is the father of 11 children. Yes, 11. This podcast is here to give you wisdom for your family, your marriage, your children, your finances, your health, and your life. And now, the host of Wisdom of Life podcast, David Baker.
Hello and welcome. David Baker here. Welcome to the Wisdom for Life podcast. We're glad that you're here. Looking forward to a good episode to be able to help you. This is Wednesday, so it is the normal one where we throw in some other fun things to be able to help. So a little housekeeping, if you would. So if you listen to us on wherever podcast, if you'd give us a good rating, we'd sure appreciate that. I checked that today. And 4.9 rating and a lot of good reports. That was on Apple anyway. So thank you. We sure appreciate that. If you haven't taken time to do that, it doesn't take long. So my daughter listened to the podcast and she was going to give a rating. And she first, she thought she had to click every star. And she said, Dad, I almost gave you a 1-star rating. I said, oh, thank you. That would have been great for my daughter. So anyway, you do that. And if you need to, want to watch video anytime, then, it's on YouTube, Wisdom for Life podcast and Rumble. And then Facebook, you can follow us at David Mark Baker, on Facebook. So, we're going to jump in. First, we're going to teach you something. Did you know? Okay. By the way, Kit Kat is my least favorite candy bar. Oh no. I know some of you, you're hurt, offended. You'll never listen again. It's my least favorite. I like almost all of them, but okay. It is not my least favorite. Any with coconut are my least favorite. I can eat a Kit Kat. But the ones with coconut, Almond Joy and Mounds, cringe with them. But anyway, interesting on Kit Kats. The folks at Kit Kat Factory sure know how to recycle. Whenever a Kit Kat bar is somehow made imperfect during production, like air bubbles or some other issue, the chocolate bar isn't thrown out. Instead, they ground it up into fine paste and turn it into the filling that's incorporated back into the production process to create a new Kit Kat bar. Did you know that? I never knew that. So part of the Kit Kat bar is from recycled Kit Kats. So interesting, I guess, for a business idea. It's pretty good. You can not throw those things away. But anyway, so you that like Kit Kats, you got a recycled one. So, all right, that's the thing to teach you today. We got a joke for you. So a mechanic was removing a cylinder head from the motor of a Harley when he spotted a world-famous heart surgeon in his shop. The heart surgeon was waiting for the service manager to come take a look at his bike. The mechanic shouted across the garage, "Hey, Doc, can I ask you a question?" Famous surgeon, a bit surprised, walked over to the mechanic working on the motorcycle. Mechanic straightened up, wiped his hands on a rag, and asked, "So, Doc, look at this engine. I can open hearts, take valves out, fix them, put in new parts. When I finish, this will work just like new. So how come I get barely a salary and you make the really big money when you and I are basically doing the same work?" The surgeon paused and smiled and leaned over and whispered to the mechanic, said, "Yeah, next time try doing it with the engine running." Try doing it with the engine running. So, yep, they get paid a little more. By the way, if you work with animals, you get paid a certain amount. If you can work with things, you can get paid more. But if you can work with people, if you have the skills to work with people, you'll get paid more for that than for the other. All right, things I love. Yesterday was Valentine's Day, or Monday, the time you're listening to this. Monday was Valentine's Day. What a great day to celebrate marriage, romance, special things. We had a couples activity at our house and had a great time with that. And then yesterday I took my wife out for a lunch date, and then she made a special meal in our bedroom for an evening date. And so anyway, just had a great day. Do little things for our girls too, so it's special. I'll tell you some funny things. We had an activity at our house, and so we ate fancy food, fancy meals and drinks and all. I had a great time, non-alcoholic of course, but anyway. So then we had some games, and there's some fun games that we played. So one of them, One of them is obscene. Okay. I'll just tell you, it's obscene, but it's a lot of fun. Like, what, Pastor? So we play this game. I bought these candy necklaces. Okay. You know, the little kids' candy necklaces. And so a lady can wear it, but it's like a choker. So it's really, really tight around her neck because they're made for kids. Candy necklace. So the game is the husbands have to nibble the candy off. The first one to nibble all the candy off wins. So sounds like a, you know, that should be fun. They're married couples. So, all right, ready? Put on the necklace, go. And so it's obscene. It looks like these couples are just making out. So I got a video in the room of all these couples just, I mean, making out, going at it, giggling, laughing. Of course, it's tickling them. And then, of course, whoever wins, we give them a prize. So anyway, you're looking for a fun activity, try that, okay? But you'll find yourself wanting to look away like, should I be watching this? So we did one. It's a sweet one called I Love You, Honey, But I Just Can't Smile. So they put a couple up in two chairs, and the one has to say to the other, you get three chances, and they say, if you love me, honey, will you please, please smile? And the other person has to say without a smile, I love you, honey, but I just can't smile. And so they get three chances to be able to do that, and when you crack, then you lose. So see who has the most willpower. That was fun. My mom and dad, they're 84 and 81. My mom just turned 82. And to do that, and that was fun watching them be able to be stone-faced. I love you, honey, but I just can't smile. I'll tell you about one more we did. This is a pillow fight, okay? Good old-fashioned pillow fight. We had to go to the garage with this. Didn't want to break anything. But gave each of them a pillow. We had three couples out of the room. We bring them in one by one and give each of them a pillow and a blindfold. Put the blindfold on their head, spin them around three times, and let them go at it. Except one caveat. Right at the end, right when they're turning them around, you take the blindfold off of the lady. And you ought to see her eyes light up like, really? Oh, this is going to be fun. So, of course, the guy's bigger and stronger and more athletic, so he thinks he's got this. And he gets whooped. He gets beat up with these, with the pillows, with the girl. And boy, some of them have a lot of fun. Pop him in the head. He turns around, pop him in the other end. And the girls just love it. Finally, the guy's realizing, all right, there's something going on wrong. And then we let him take the mask off and the blindfold off and see. So, anyway, all right, there's some good fun. So that's things I love. Things I hate, marriage struggles. Marriage struggles. I've got three marriages I'm working with now in our marriage program, and I love to help them, but boy, the struggle, the separations, the divorce, the issues that come up. Boy, it's not supposed to be that way. Marriage is supposed to be a little bit of heaven on earth. He said, this I speak a mystery when I speak concerning Christ and the church. Talking about marriage in Ephesians 5. Heaven, marriages should be a little bit of heaven on earth, messing this earth has to offer. So if you're not having that kind of marriage, we'd love to help. Go to fixfamiliesinstitute.com, fixfamiliesinstitute.com. Scroll down and you can schedule yourself for a free one-on-one marriage coaching session. Would love to be able to help you. All right, quote, last time I think I gave a favor, fortune favors the bold. Virgil said that. This one, interesting. Some quotes are sort of true, and some are all the way true, and some are depending. But this one, it says, life is what happens when you're busy making other plans. Life is what happens when you're busy making other plans. So some people don't know how to enjoy the moment of where they're at because they're always at the next thing. And so that can be bad. But you do need to make plans, especially for heaven and eternity. And the person that made this quote, I don't think they did. John Lennon. You better make sure you make plans for what comes after this life. That's eternity. Make sure you make plans for that. All right. Let's see. Bible trivia, last thing, and we'll get into our thought lesson for the day. So Bible trivia last time, it was too easy. Longest chapter in the Bible. You ready? You got it? Psalm 119. And then this week is the first murderer in the Bible. Who is the first murderer in the Bible? All right. Something very important to be able to give today. By the way, any preacher that ever says, this is the most important thing that you need to know, is probably a good guy. He's got some passion to him. It's amazing how many times I find myself saying, this is the most important thing. And by the way, for right now, it is the most important thing that you need to know. If God directed you here and you're listening to this, this is important. So I'm going to talk about the crowns. Next week, next Wednesday, I'm going to talk about eschatology, prophecy, what comes next. But When we get to heaven as Christians, there's what's called a judgment seat of Christ where we receive rewards that are done in the body. We'll take more time to go through that later, but today I want to give you, there are five different crowns the Bible talks about that we could receive for what we do on this earth. Now, we know we're saved by grace through faith, not of works, okay? There's not one thing you can do good that can get you one step closer to heaven. The only thing that's going to take us to heaven is accepting Jesus Christ as our Savior. The end. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Okay? So it's not works. But after we're saved, God says we're his workmanship, created unto good works, God talks about. And so we are supposed to do good things, not to be saved, but because we are saved. And when we do those things, then God has some rewards that he wants to give us in heaven. First one is called an uncorruptible crown. An uncorruptible crown. This crown is given to people who strive to serve God in the Christian life, in this Christian race. Okay? 1 Corinthians 9, 24 to 27, you can look it up. Paul said, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize, so run that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as certainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. He's not talking about not going to heaven. He's saved on his way to heaven. That can't change. But if he doesn't live for God, if he doesn't keep his body under subjection, if he does not strive for the mastery to be temperate in all things, if he doesn't do that, then he's not going to get this incorruptible crown. So the world, the Winter Olympics are going on, I think. I don't think anyone's watching them, but they're going on. And someone gets a gold medal, okay? That gold medal is corruptible. It's going to tarnish. It's going to have problems. It's going to get old. It's going to get dirty. But we, when we strive to serve God, we keep our body under subjection. When we serve God, we're running in our race on this earth, living for God, we are going to get an incorruptible crown. Beautiful. That's the first one. Next, very simply, it's called the crown of rejoicing. And this is a soul winner's crown. This is for showing people how to go to heaven. 1 Thessalonians 2:19, for what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? It's called the crown of rejoicing. When someone gets saved, when one sinner repents, the Bible says there is joy in the presence of the angels. Now, the angels may be rejoicing, but that's not what it says. God says there's joy. The Bible says there's joy in the presence of the angels. Well, who is in the presence of the angels? Well, Jesus. So who is shouting and rejoicing for joy? Jesus is, because someone that he died for and loved and gave his life and blood for just trusted him as their Savior. And there's rejoicing in heaven because of that. What a beautiful thing. So if we are doing that ministry of reconciliation, restoring people to Jesus, telling them how to be saved, then for us in heaven, there's a crown of rejoicing. What a beautiful thing. Number three, crown of righteousness. This one, very simply, is people who are loving and looking forward to Jesus coming back. Are you looking forward to him coming? God said when he comes, he wants to find us so doing. 2 Timothy 4:8, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, Paul says, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. There's a crown of righteousness. If we love Jesus and look forward to him coming back, there's a crown he's going to give us for that. Is that a big deal? That sure is. Two more. The crown of life. Crown of life. James 1:12 and Revelation 2:20 talk about that. James 1:12, blessed is a man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. This crown is for enduring temptation. For enduring temptation. Hey, what temptations come across your way? When you endure it and you don't yield to it and you don't give in to it, there's a crown of life given to us. Revelation 2:10, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison that you may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Okay? Be faithful. Don't give in. Don't give in to the temptation. There's a crown of life that God can give us. And the last one, 1 Peter 5:3-4, is a shepherd's crown. This is a crown for being a faithful pastor. It says, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. It's called the shepherd's crown or the crown of glory. Boy, what an amazing thing. When I first became a pastor and realized, what? There's a crown just for being a pastor? That's amazing. I was shocked. I was surprised. There's a crown just for doing this job. I joke with pastors, the longer I'm in this, the more I realize why there's a crown just for being a pastor. I love it. I love being a pastor. Thank God I am. Don't want to do anything else, but I definitely realize why there's a crown for being a pastor. There's a lot of fun issues that you have to go through in being a pastor. So, hey, you going to have any crowns? Are you going to have any crowns when you meet Jesus? Will you wish and say, I wish I'd given him more? One day, every knee will bow and every tongue shall confess to God that he is Lord. Then the Bible says, so every one of us will give account of himself to God. This is not unsaved people. That's later on, the great white throne judgment. This is the judgment seat of Christ. This is for people that are saved. As we stand before Jesus and we bow our knee and we say, yes, Jesus, your Lord. And when we're bowed, we see the wounds in his feet, not scars. But wounds, the Bible says. There's some songs that talk about the scars of Jesus. I'm not fighting it, but they're not scars. They haven't healed. They're still open wounds. Does he still feel the nails every time I fail? Does he still feel it when I sin, those open wounds? We'll see the wounds on his feet, and I picture him saying something like this. Now, these words aren't in the Bible, but I picture something like this. Okay, here's what I did for you, as he shows us his hands. What did you do for me? Give an account. We're sure not perfect, but if we did these things here that these crowns talk about, he's going to reach back and take a crown or two or three and place it on our head. Wow. Well, I'm not worried about that. I don't need a crown. Just give me a cabin in a corner of glory and I'm okay. I understand that. Why is a crown important? Because at the end of Revelation, everyone that received the crown is going to cast them at his feet and say, only you, Lord, are worthy to receive glory and honor and praise. Boy, I sure want to be able to have something to give Jesus at that time, that crown. Are you going to have a crown? Hey, go study this. Go look it up. Go listen to this again. Write down the verses. Go read it. And ask yourself, what do I need to change to make sure that I'm going to have a crown or two or three when I stand before Jesus? All right. Hey, God bless you. Have a great time. And remember, be kind to everyone because everyone's having a tough time. And no matter what, get wisdom. Get wisdom for your life. It is the principal thing.
Thank you for listening to the Wisdom for Life podcast. If you have any questions for us, email us at askpastorbaker@gmail.com and we will answer them in an upcoming podcast. The email is askpastorbaker@gmail.com.